Hello. Hello, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to the Three Great Money Myths and Your Path to Financial Freedom with best-selling author Lynn Twist and acclaimed wealth coach Tammy White. I'm your host, James Roche, and this special event is brought to you by Evolving Wisdom. If you're attending one of our online events for the first time, I want you to know that we're thrilled to have you joining us today. And if you've attended one of our past events, we're so glad you can come again and join us for this special event. I also want to let you know that over the last several years, Evolving Wisdom has had over 1 million people in nearly every country in the world participate in our online programs and live events. And that has only made us more dedicated to bring you today's top leading teachers, the great tools and teachings that we offer, with the purpose in mind that we help you reach your full potential. Thank you so much for being part of our global community. Now, without further ado, let me introduce you to two brilliant and wonderful teachers who will be sharing their wisdom with you today. We have Lynn Twist, author of the best-selling book, The Soul of Money, and wealth coach Tammy White. Hello, Lynn and Tammy.
Hello, it's great to be here.
Yes, thank you so much for having us.
Well, I'm very excited to be with both of you, Lynn and Tammy. We have people from all over the world registered for this event. We have people joining us from the USA, from Australia, South America, Europe, all over Asia and Canada. There are people from all corners of the globe joining us here today. And it's really great to be with all of you as you're listening here right now, because I think something very powerful happens when we come together in this way as a global community. So let's get started. Lynn, why don't you get us started and share with us a little bit about tonight's training? So who is this for?
So who is this course for? Who is this evening for? And are you in the right place? Let me say a couple things about how that might show up for you. If you're someone who sometimes is just completely panicked about not having enough money in the future, thinking about it all the time, worrying about it all the time, wondering whether or not you should have started your retirement saving, or is it too late, or is it too early, and how much do you need for retirement? Are you afraid you're going to be destitute when you're old? Or are you someone who hasn't even thought about that because you're so busy thinking, I've got to have more money right now? If you want to make more and think that if you just had 30% more, everything would be okay. I mean, a lot of people just think, oh, just 30% more, no matter what their original number is. They just think they've got to have a little bit more and then everything will be okay. Or if you're someone who's constantly worried about money and can't even talk to anybody about it, especially your partner, your spouse, your husband, your wife, then this evening is for you. If you've never felt comfortable about money, you feel kind of off or wrong or bad, or you know that you didn't do something you were supposed to do, or you did do something you shouldn't have done, you just feel like you're always screwing up around money. And if you make enough, but you can't really manage it well, you need more tools. You haven't found a way to have money really work for you. Or if you haven't found a way to have the way you earn money align with your highest values and you're kind of doing something you don't really like, you just don't feel satisfied in your career, this evening's for you. Some of us have never been taught about how to use the tools that financial people know about how to keep things straight and keep track of stuff. And it gets into the kind of fiber of our well-being because we don't know these things. Tammy, are there other things that people might be experiencing that would have them feel this course is for them?
Well, I just know that so many of us have not had any education or training in the whole area of money. And the truth is that there are some very basic fundamental tools and practices that we can engage in that would produce an enormous amount of peace and well-being and give us an amazing capacity to shift our relationship with money and actually create wealth. And we want to share those things with you.
Yeah, great. So we have the experience and the track record to really turn that around for people. We want to do that for you tonight. I want to reassure you that we're going to put you on a path that will take you to a place where you begin to see a whole new way of being with money, and the traps of scarcity and the money myths that we're all caught in, you'll have an opportunity to break free from them and begin a journey to wealth that will be nourishing to you and everybody around you. And you'll have some tools that will allow you to create a long-term pathway to the wealth that you dream of. We won't cover everything we know in one evening, but we're going to cover a lot, and there'll be an opportunity to take some real ground tonight. And before the call ends tonight, we'll tell you how to go forward so that you can take all the ground you need to take. So we'd love for you to stick around, and we really want to have something miraculous happen for you here.
That's great. Thank you. Now, I want to learn a little bit more about both of you and how you unlocked this code to true prosperity, because you both have really tapped into a unique and a powerful way that helps people earn more, save more, and spend in a smarter way in their life. So, Lynn, let's start with you. Please introduce yourself.
So my name is Lynn Twist. I'm an author, a workshop leader, a global activist or pro-activist, the co-founder of the Pachamama Alliance, the founder and president of the Soul of Money Institute. And I'm delighted to be a person who's spent the last 40 years working on global issues in a way that I've gotten a real deep and profound understanding of our relationship with money and life through fundraising, through philanthropy, and through working with people in all sectors of our society and all levels of our economy on global issues and on their relationship with money. I'm very excited to be leading this program and leading it with my colleague, Tammy White.
Thank you, Lynn. Hello, my name is Tammy White, and I'm also thrilled to be here with you. I'm a wealth coach and a workshop leader, and as well, I'm a mother of five beautiful children. Now, I'm all about having fun with money practices and connecting those practices to real-world desires like peace and freedom and joy and satisfaction. My first career was in the mortgage industry, and there I built and eventually sold a company that was widely respected in Northern California. But I sold that back in 1999, which seems like many, many hundreds of years ago. But I want to say that during that time, I looked at thousands of financial statements and worked with people on what was, for most of them, the largest financial transaction of their lives, and saw a lot about what did and didn't work with people and in how they related with their money. And I personally always had kind of a ridiculous fascination with money and practices that produced a lot of peace and freedom, and I offered those to my employees and colleagues and friends and some clientele, but really it wasn't the offer of our business. And it wasn't until after the crash of 2008 and 2009 when people came to me and said, "Hey, Tammy, why don't you create a money course? Because we're all freaking out at what just happened to the world, and you seem to be doing okay over there." So that's kind of when this all started, and that was right around the time where I started working with you, Lynn, and saw that this marriage of our conversations was such a beautiful one.
Well, I love that because my history with money is mostly from fundraising and philanthropy, as I said, and I've raised hundreds of millions of dollars and given a lot of money myself to the causes I believe in. And when you're fundraising, you fundraise primarily from individuals for all of the things that I've been involved in. You get very intimately involved with people's relationship with money, often with their family, their family philanthropy, or their relationship with money in a way that you don't expect. And I've come to learn over these years that I've been given a beautiful insight into people's relationship with money from working with people of circumstances of poverty, working closely with Mother Teresa and other people that have really delved into the world of poverty and tragic circumstances to global billionaires and their families who are often kind of, although they look like they're living a glamorous life, often caught in all kinds of money issues, abandonment, addictions, problems that often come with exaggerated piles of financial resources. So I have a different angle on money than you, Tammy, as you know, but together we make some sort of a wonderful partnership that gets at some of the issues people have with money and frees them into the natural, true prosperity that's theirs. And I just want to say how cool it is that Evolving Wisdom, the company that is producing this,
invited us to offer collaborative effort and this course. And they're such a great company, and they're enabling us to reach many, many more people than we would in our individual courses and at an affordable price, and given us the opportunity to come at this topic in a way that's both spiritual and practical, and will give people keys to the kingdom of true prosperity. So I'm real excited about doing this program with you and with Evolving Wisdom and with everybody who's listening.
Thank you. We're very excited to be working with both of you, too. So, Lynn, briefly share with us what we're going to be covering here on today's call.
So what we're going to cover tonight is the insights and teachings that we have that we know will unblock you from your full earning potential, from the scramble that many people have trying to get out of debt and yet being in the constant cycle of debt, or just any kind of suffering you have in your relationship with money, which is widespread and deep for most people. And we're going to go through a whole understanding and insight that we have about what blocks us, which is this condition, this consciousness of scarcity that's made up of three great myths. We're going to go through those tonight so that you can liberate yourself from that consciousness and find your way to the consciousness of true prosperity and the journey to wealth.
Well, I'm very excited to hear what both of you have to share, because I think money has to be one of the biggest issues in life where people struggle the most, right? I mean, what's going on here? Like, why? What's at the root cause of why so many people, and even at all income levels, seem to struggle with money issues?
Well, actually, that's a wonderful question. So let me talk about what we're all caught in, what is the water we swim in as human beings, and it's called the cultural condition of scarcity, or the cultural condition of money, or the money culture. Just to frame it up right now, everybody, you, me, Tammy, the wealthiest people on earth, the people who have the least amount of financial resources on earth, we all swim in the condition, the cultural condition of money that is debilitating, that is that disempowers, that has us feel wrong, at fault. If you feel good about money, you're kind of a mutant in today's society. Most people feel wrong and bad. They didn't do something they should have done. They did do something they shouldn't have done. They feel like they've missed the boat. Even people of enormous wealth who I have the privilege of working with feel wrong and bad about having the money they have even. So it doesn't always get better with more financial resources. Yes, to some degree it does, but it's not as related to that as we think. And this cultural condition of scarcity, this cultural condition of the money culture, it's a consumer commercial culture that constantly pummels us with what I call lies or illusions that tell us that if we acquire this or acquire that or do that, our life will be better. And that cultural condition is never going to go away. But we have the opportunity through examining it and disaggregating ourselves from it to not be swimming in it, not be gripped by it, not be choked by it in a way that we can become human beings again and see the cultural condition as something we need to navigate rather than something that we're living and breathing and becoming part of. So a huge part of this is recognizing that it's not your fault, that any problems or misunderstandings or unhealthy habits you have, or, you know, kind of this panic about money or mania about money or kind of addiction to spending is not entirely your fault. Yes, you've got responsibility for the way you behave. We don't mean to undermine that in any way. But it's important to realize that we are actually living in a tsunami of messaging that tells us that we have to have and be more in order to be even okay. And that tsunami of messaging is very, very skillfully designed to hook you, to make you think that you're not good enough until you acquire or until you become something you're now not. so that you will buy, acquire, or accumulate something that is for sale by someone. And you may be one of the people sending those messages out there. In many ways, some of the messages that come our way are very helpful to us, but 99% of them are kind of sucking us into a kind of addictive behavior with money that's unhealthy for us, that's unhealthy for our families, that's unhealthy for our communities, our nation, and ultimately the world in which we live, and clearly unhealthy for future generations and the sustainability of life itself. You could say the environmental crisis, the social justice crisis, and the spiritual crisis has all been the result of an unhealthy relationship with money and the messaging around money that has us behaving inconsistent with our humanity and leaving a planet that is not as healthy as the one we found when we were born for future generations. No one wants that. And yet the consumer culture kind of forces an overconsumptive response to life that has us all caught in an unhealthy relationship with money. So this cultural condition is not your fault. You didn't create it. We go into agreement with it, yes. We get sucked into it, yes. We don't understand that it's not us, yes. But in this course, we will distinguish it so you can navigate its toxic ways and keep yourself from becoming part of it so that you can have a clean, healthy, powerful relationship with money that gives you true prosperity, inner prosperity, and outer prosperity that is consistent with your humanity and who you know yourself to be.
Wow. Wow, this is really inspiring, Lynn. Thank you. So many people are trapped in this cultural condition around money that you're talking about. And it seems to be the root of so much suffering around money. But I'm also curious, what is the biggest lie we tell ourselves about money?
The biggest lie we tell about money is the most important one for me to highlight right now. And it's the lie of scarcity, the lie of scarcity, or the condition, the mindset of scarcity. And let me say what I mean by mindset or lie. In this case, I'm talking about an unconscious, unexamined condition of thinking. It even comes before thinking. It's a way of seeing the world that is so off and so not true, but it's like a lens that we're looking through that we don't even know is covering our eyes, or a helmet we've had on so long we can't remember we have it on. And we look through the world, and what we see is a world of scarcity. And I say it's a lie. Now, the lie of scarcity, an unconscious, unexamined condition of thinking or of seeing or a way of seeing the world, is something that's primarily in the affluent part of the world. You know, there are places, obviously, where there isn't enough water. There aren't enough jobs. There isn't enough opportunity. That is very, very true. I used to work on hunger and poverty. I know this intimately. I have held dying babies in my arms in Ethiopia and in Bangladesh after a flood. So I know very intimately that there are people who don't have enough. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you and me, that we believe, or we have an unconscious, unexamined lens that has us look at the world and see that things are scarce. And there's three toxic myths in this great condition of thinking, or lie, and I call it a lie deliberately, of scarcity. The first toxic myth is the belief, the unconscious, unexamined belief that there's not enough to go around. We actually unconsciously believe or behave as if there's not enough. There's not enough time. There's not enough love. There's not enough sex. There's not enough weekends. There's not enough vacation. There's not enough volunteers. There's not enough market share. There's not enough money. There's not enough hours in the day. There's not enough hours in the night. In fact, most people wake up every morning and the first thought they have before they even look at the clock is, I didn't get enough sleep. And then they go through the day. I don't have time. Oh, I don't know enough to wear. I don't have enough of this. I don't know enough of that. They get to work. They're in traffic. They don't have enough time to get to work on time. The first meeting is about what we don't have enough of. The next conference call is what we don't have enough of. The lunch meeting is what we don't have enough of. We don't even have time to eat. We're talking about what we don't have enough of. We get home. We don't have enough time to help the kids with the homework or do anything for ourselves. And then we're on email all the way till we fall asleep in bed. And the last thought we have is, I didn't get enough done. And this is this is the way people live now. It's in a there's not enough siren song of a culture that demands everything from us and tells us there's not enough. And the second part of that sentence, there's not enough to go around, says that someone somewhere is always going to be left out. And if you have an unconscious, unexamined belief that there's not enough to go around and someone somewhere is always going to be left out, then it legitimizes or makes it even right or responsible to accumulate way more than you need for you and yours to make sure you and yours are not among those who are left out, since someone somewhere is always going to be left out in that unconscious, unexamined belief system.
Wow.
So you can accumulate almost any amount at the expense of people, because someday, maybe when you have enough, you don't know what that is, but way, way, way more than you need, you'll help them. But not until you've accumulated enough to actually be able to share something. And that mindset is so damaging, and it creates an us and a them. It creates one group over another. It even becomes a political philosophy for a nation where we can take anything from anyone to take care of ours, those people who we feel are ours or one of us. We can have way more than we need, even at the expense of everybody else, because it's responsible to make sure that you and yours are not among those who are left out if you believe that there's not enough to go around and someone somewhere is always going to be left out. So that mindset is devastating to the relationship we have with each other and the relationship we have with the natural world and humanity and other species. So that's the first toxic myth. There's not enough. The second toxic myth is more is better. More of anything. More of everything. Mm-hmm. More square feet in our house. More freeways. More this, more that, more market share, more companies, more this, that a company can get bigger and bigger and bigger and eat other companies and become more and more and more and more and more. There's this incredible industry now in the United States and other affluent nations, and it's growing like crazy, and it's growing at a rate that's almost unfathomable, and that industry is called storage. And you think about storage, what it is, it's this industry to take care of all the stuff that we have that we can't fit in our houses or our garages or our basements anymore, and we have to rent or get another structure to put some of that stuff in that we're not using. We can't even remember we had it or we bought
when
it.
When you talk about it, it's so embarrassing.
It's disgusting. And storage is a huge industry. It's growing like mad. And if you have storage, don't feel guilty. You're one of billions of people who are dependent on storage to keep everything from drowning themselves in stuff. And, you know, we have millions of homeless people in the United States, but we're not building houses for them. We're building little houses and apartment buildings for our stuff that we can't fit in the houses and apartment buildings we already have. So this is a kind of a poster child for a culture that's lost its way. And the tsunami of advertising and marketing that tells us we've got to have more of this and more of that and more of this and more of that all the time is just raining on us like a rainstorm. So it's very hard to think outside of the condition or the unconscious examined belief that more is always better. More, anything and everything is always better. And then the third toxic myth is the worst one because it holds them all in place. And that's toxic myth. That's just the way that it is. That's the myth itself. That's just the way that it is. There's not enough, toxic myth number one. More is better, toxic myth number two. And toxic myth number three, that's just the way that it is, which holds everything in place and has us not question this unconscious, unexamined mindset of scarcity. And it has us be resigned. It has us give up. It has us buy in, and it has us crazy. And it drives behavior that is completely out of alignment with who we are as human beings. So I invite you to look and see where you're caught, where you're hooked, where you're swimming in, where you've been bamboozled by the lie of scarcity, which is a central tenet in a consumer culture and a central communication of a consumer culture that has you think it's not enough, there's not enough, and even down to the core of who you are, I'm not enough. It has us live in a society of debt and deficit, not only the biggest, you know, the richest country in the world, the United States, also has the biggest debt in the history of the world, which you could say is an accurate reflection of a culture that has no value on the inner life and only values the outer life or outer resources. And you can see that our culture, where now 25% of our population in the United States has some form of mental illness or addiction, in a culture that thinks it has to have more all the time. It could be the source of our obesity crisis, the drug crisis, the meth crisis, and also the mental illness crisis, where people really feel they are not enough. Mm-hmm. They're inadequate in every possible way. So it's a very serious lie that's part of the central tenet of the consumer culture. And if you're caught in it, you're normal and it's not who you are. So the cultural condition of scarcity is, it's actually tragic, it's cruel, it's heartbreaking, and we're all caught in it. And every time I talk about this, it's sort of, it's almost like obscene how intense it is, and how no one really can escape it. And so our behaviors as a human community are so distorted as a result of this, I think. I think this is a lot of where it comes from.
Wow, that's a very powerful imagery there, and I can I feel like it's almost like a cycle, caught in a never ending spiral, and all three of these great lies really bind us, and it seems very apparent that this is the link, this is kind of the underlying root that is causing people to have these surface struggles with the money, how it shows up in their life as overspending or not saving enough or not earning enough. I want to look at each one of these in a little more detail to see how this is showing up and how to shift out of it. So let's look at the first myth of there's not enough. How does somebody know that they're trapped in that myth?
Well, if you're constantly invalidating yourself, if you feel completely inadequate in almost every situation, if you're looking in the mirror and thinking about you're not pretty enough, if you're a woman, or you're not thin enough, or if you're a man, you're not productive enough, or you're not handsome enough, or you're not muscly enough, or whatever. If you feel you're not smart enough, if you're scrambling to constantly live up to some image of yourself that you haven't, you haven't gotten there yet, and you're not in touch with your own self-esteem and your own self-worth, you're caught in this cycle, and it's part of the culture. You know, we have a term that we refer to ourselves now. We don't call ourselves citizens any longer. We've been devolved now to consumers. And the word citizen means he or she who's responsible for the well-being of the community, the well-being of the state or the world. But we're not referred to as citizens any longer, and we even don't even think of ourselves that way so much. We think of ourselves as consumers, and we're talked to as if we're consumers, and that's all we are. And so the job of a consumer, and the word consumer means he or she who takes, consumes, depletes, diminishes, or destroys. And so our kind of raison d'etre now as a human family is to consume, to take, to deplete, to destroy, to diminish. And that is never satisfying, and you can't possibly prosper. I'm thinking of this young man that we worked with, who was just this incredible genius with technology. This is not his real name, but his name, but we'll call him Richard. And he knew so much about technology. He was kind of like, you know, out of this world genius, but he couldn't find a job. He couldn't find a place for himself. He had all these, baggage, all this kind of baggage with his dad. His dad wanted him to do X, Y, or Z, and he wasn't measuring up to that. And he just didn't feel like he was at home in his own skin, and he was riddled by shoulds. You know, he should have done this, or he should do that. And we worked with him, and we really worked with him deeply in his own sense of who he was. And no matter what he tried to accomplish, it always fell short in his own eyes, and he thought in the eyes of his father. And in the work we did with him in his own consciousness, talking to him about these myths that I've just, these three great myths, he had a real breakthrough, a real realization, had an incredible conversation with his father and broke through that relationship to the other side, found out really that all along he had the talents and treasures that are perfect for our time. And he got a spectacular job with a technology company, and he's making more money than he's ever dreamed of. He's only 27, and now he's saving thousands of dollars a month, and he's doing what's his to do, not what somebody told him he should be doing. And once he found his own dharma, his own karma, his own rhythm, he tapped into his own natural prosperity, the natural laws, which we're going to share with you, that made it easy for him to actually become someone on the journey to wealth.
And why is it that people like, say, Richard needs to shift out of this cycle of there's not enough?
Well, because he thought that that was true about him, and it was so clearly not true about him, and it's not true about anybody. You know, this there's not enough mentality, I'm not enough mentality haunts everybody. But we all know deep in our heart of hearts that it's not true about us. It's not true about anybody.
What is the truth?
What is the truth is that we not only are enough, but each person has a deep well of power and excellence and uniqueness that is like no other person on earth. And getting in touch with that is the source of your true prosperity. You can't prosper when you're in the hamster wheel, no matter how much you earn, no matter how much money you have, until you're in touch with your own true gifts, talents, and treasures, who you really are, that divine spark that is you, you can't prosper. And he got in touch with that, and he's now prospering, and he's earning in a way that he never thought was possible before. And that's available to everybody on this call tonight. It's available to every single person on this call tonight, no matter what your circumstances.
That's beautiful. I mean, I'm really hearing that this shift that can occur around this first myth is simply a deep understanding that we are enough, and that empty feeling inside that we sometimes get trying to fill that sense of I'm not enough is really shifted by this awareness that, you know what, we are enough. And if we can really stand in our own actual values and what we're actually contributing back into the world, and in that shift, then we, in a way, instantly become more attractive, and we instantly become more open to opportunities and more responsible, I guess, or more powerful way of dealing with your money management. Is that accurate? I mean, is that kind of how it shows up for people?
Exactly. You know, what he did was he disengaged from the cultural mindset that was invalidating him. And he really listened to a different voice inside himself. And one of the things that I want to just tell everybody tonight is the cultural mindset is so loud. It is so noisy. It is so all-encompassing. It is so intense that you and I have no idea how powerful it is and how difficult it is to disengage from it. And one of the things that's so useful about this call tonight, and a course that Tammy and I are going to be leading in the future, is that when you're with other people who are really looking at what is true prosperity, What is the journey to wealth? How can I disengage from mind chatter that disables me, that holds me back? When you do that with other people, when you do that with teachings that are more deeply rooted in the what I call the radical surprising truth, you become liberated from the intensity of a culture that constantly puts you down and makes you think you need to acquire more all the time. And then you naturally expand your resources, your financial resources, and your own natural resources from the natural laws that actually are the accurate pathway to true wealth.
Mm. This is great. So let's move on and dissect myth number two a little bit more. How does somebody know if they're trapped in this myth of more is better?
Well, I would assert that pretty much everybody is, because that's the culture we swim in. And you kind of know it if you think you need more of everything all the time, which is pretty much the way people think. And I'll just say the more is better messaging that is just a constant drumbeat or siren song in the consumer culture never lets you alone. It's 24/7. It is everywhere all the time. And, you know, no matter how big your house is, or no matter how big your salary is, no matter how well you're doing, everybody thinks they need 30% more. Now, I'm not opposed to people having 30% more money, but I want to just point out that 30% ago, you thought everything would be fine if you got 30% more. And now that you're 30% more prosperous, or maybe not prosperous, but you have 30% more, you think, well, I really need 30% more from where I am now. And that is a constant drumbeat. I can tell you people that I've worked with who have literally billions of dollars really are totally convinced that they need more. I mean, it's sort of inconceivable, but they do. They think they need more. You know, if they have a yacht, they need a helicopter to get to their yacht. And then they need an island to have their yacht tied up on, etc. I mean, that sounds ridiculous, but it actually is the same as thinking you need another pair of black pants if you're a woman that makes you look thinner. Or you need, you know, 10 more pairs of shoes for every outfit. And I'm not opposed to buying shoes or having black pants. I got lots of them. And I think it's wonderful for people to have boats. So I'm not opposed to all that. What I'm talking about is pointing to a mindset that never gives you the satisfaction you're looking for, because it doesn't actually come from the place we're seeking. And the more is better seduction steals from us our sense of fulfillment and prosperity. And it's a leaky boat. It's a leaky boat. No matter how much more we get, there's a leakage there that doesn't allow us to actually experience the power of true prosperity. So I'm going to share about a person we worked with who's a very, very successful single woman. She's an author and a speaker and makes hundreds of thousands of dollars a year and has never really been had any experience until she worked with us of financial power and real satisfaction and experience her own prosperity. She just didn't have that. She was always scrambling. She had to do at least 10 more things or get 10 more gigs or write 2 more books or you know, do more. And she was so frantic. She was traveling all the time. She never had a moment to enjoy herself. She was she couldn't keep up with her friends because she was never there. She was just miserable, and she couldn't find a partner who would stay with her because she was too busy going for more. And after she worked with us, not only did she realize and actually get in touch with her already existing true wealth and prosperity, she relaxed a little bit. She got a chance to enjoy it. She got a chance to share it with people. She started to feel nourished by it. And out of that experience, her wealth actually began to grow, and she tripled her income without even trying. And that is an example of true prosperity, the natural laws that aren't rooted in more is better, but are rooted in actually appreciating what's already there in a way that it can expand and nourish you and nourish the world. And so that a more is better mythology is a killer for us. But when we clear it away and let go of it, even for a moment, beautiful things are waiting for us that will allow us to expand our sense of true prosperity and wealth.
It seems like when we, you know, shift away from that more is better myth, then our authentic self really can shine. But let's dive a little deeper now into myth number three, which is that's just the way it is. Now, this one feels a lot like resignation. You know, isn't that right, Tammy?
Yeah, we often say that resignation is the poison to effective action. It's the poison to transformation or to the possibility of embodying new practices, new action, generative life. And we had this single gal in one of our programs who was making decent money. She was making about $70,000 a year, but she had just an enormous amount of debt. I think her debt load was somewhere around $30,000, and a lot of it was with friends and family. And she had this deep resignation that she could never pay this debt off. And one of the most tragic pieces of debt with friends and family is that it actually begins to block our capacity to be related to one another. And she noticed that there was distance growing between her and these friends and family members. And out of doing the program with us, out of going through our 7-step wealth journey, she actually eliminated all of that debt within just over a year, completely wiped it out. And when we talked to her today, her mood about her life, her business, her relationship with people is just through the roof. And she increased her income in that year by 20% and has a practical and achievable plan for her financial prosperity in a horizon of time that spans her entire life. And she's more peaceful and more centered and more joyful than she's ever been.
So how did she make that shift? How did she break free from that kind of resignation that this is just the way it is?
I think that shift happens in a couple of different ways. One is when we engage in practices that alter our way of being. And the other is that we engage in practices that alter our actions, our way of doing. So she worked on practices that altered her being in her life, her experience of her own prosperity, her experience of her own, I would say, enoughness, if you will. So she engaged in practices of being, which really altered her experience of sufficiency in her life, of prosperity in her life. We call those the practices of the natural laws of true prosperity. And she also engaged in practices that were very specific to her financial well-being. So she engaged in the practices of intentional spending, of designing a vision for her life with her money, of designing her wealth journey. She engaged in practices of saving and horizons of time that span her whole life, short-term, medium-term, long-term. And she engaged in the practices around earning that we go through that really impacted her capacity to build and sustain a new level of earning.
Now, I'll say that she got in touch with what I call the radical surprising truth about herself, which is really where the breakthroughs occurred for all of these people. They got in touch with not the lie of scarcity, but the truth that is hiding underneath it.
I recall that when I first heard you share this body of distinctions about the three great myths and the radical surprising truth, it was such a huge aha for me. It was such a great opening. And I thought, wow, I can be prosperous for the rest of my life. I can live in this conversation of abundance. And I woke up the next morning thinking, wow, I didn't get enough sleep. And I'm not making enough money. And it really occurred to me that we are so gripped by this culture, this cultural conversation.
Of scarcity.
Of scarcity. That it's nearly impossible to, on our own, extricate ourselves from the grip. That it really requires practices and engaging others to participate in those practices with us, either our family or some community where we can develop the practices necessary to shift out of this scarcity culture, this scarcity mindset.
That's absolutely right. And so meeting you and learning the practices of financial literacy, simple, clear practices of financial literacy, as well as the practices that you and I have invented to anchor the experience of enoughness and sufficiency and fulfillment and prosperity, make for a journey to wealth that's unmistakably one that's irreversible. And grounds people in a new way of seeing their life and the world in which they live.
Wow. Well, this is amazing, both of you. Thank you. I know I've gone through this process myself. I've used your tools. I know what a joy and what a liberation that is. I remember the day I was writing on a checkbook my last credit card payment. I had a credit card debt up to $24,000. Invested in my business and my education mainly. But I remember the day writing that big check, that last big amount to write it off was so freeing. And I've never looked back. I've never been in debt ever since that. And that was over 10 years ago.
And I'm so glad to be here with both of you right now, helping you get this life-changing message out to the world. Now, for those of you out there, I just want to quickly summarize everything that we've covered so far. So first of all, Lynn and Tammy have shared with you the blocks that can keep you from experiencing your full earning potential and what can keep you trapped in that cycle of debt. And they also unpacked the consciousness of scarcity through exploring the three great myths that keep you struggling with your money no matter how much you have. And Lynn just shared with you the underlying cause of that struggle and the suffering that comes with it, and talked about how you can escape it. And as Lynn was just saying, once you open to what brings you joy outside of what money can buy you, then you start to shift out of scarcity's consciousness and into true prosperity consciousness. And this is really the golden key when it comes to being able to earn more, save more, and spend more wisely. Because once you're no longer trapped in that cycle of scarcity and shift into this new perspective, money truly becomes a source of hope, of confidence, and of joy.
Okay, so now before Lynn and Tammy walk us through the seven steps to wealth, I want to let all of you know that if you're interested in taking a deeper dive with them and are willing to let them help you and deal with your specific challenges and get regular guidance and training from them, they're also offering you a chance today to join them for their True Prosperity 7-week online course. And they're going to tell you more about that as we go. Just scroll down the page till you see the title of the training again, True Prosperity 7 Weeks to an Empowered Relationship with Money. And just below that, it says, here's what you'll discover in this powerful 7-week course. And again, I want to invite all of you out there who've gone on this little adventure with us today to join Lynn and Tammy in the True Prosperity 7-week training, where you'll be able to really get Lynn and Tammy's guidance as you begin your journey out of scarcity consciousness and into your whole new empowered relationship with money. So if you're listening to this on our webpage right now, all you have to do is click the link just below the player. It's the link that says, visit the True Prosperity course information page. Or you can also open a new window and go directly to the URL and type in trueprosperitycourse.com. Again, that's True Prosperity, and that's P-R-O-S-P-E-R-I-T-Y, course.com. And you'll get access to the page. I don't bother typing it into Google because you won't find it there. And if you're listening on the phone, don't worry. We're going to walk through this right now. Now, as you get to the page, I want you all to do this right now because I'm going to hand it over to Lynn and Tammy again as they walk through the seven steps to your journey to wealth.
That's great. And what I'd like to do is just take people into the seven-step wealth journey because I don't know anybody who is doing this kind of work around money in this way, and it's very effective. Mm. It's produced miraculous results with people all over the world. So I think it would be a good time for us to give people a sense of how to begin that journey themselves.
Okay, let's do that. In week one, which is breaking free from your scarcity blocks to wealth, we'll cover in more detail what we've talked about tonight, the internal psyche that holds us back, the thinking, the consciousness that imprisons us and everybody. And you'll be freed from its grip. We'll do exercises. We'll talk about stories. You'll see the unconscious hidden stories that make up your unexamined belief system so that you can unhook and free yourself from that consciousness of scarcity and the three great myths we've talked about tonight. And you'll find your way to begin the path to true prosperity. This is the most fundamental part of our teaching that gives you the grounding that you'll need and a foundation that will turn into the endless possibilities that we're all looking for to prosper and have the life of our dreams. Our promise is at the end of week one that you'll have an experience. First of all, you'll have a revelation, and you'll have a sense of relief, and you'll see light at the end of the tunnel, and the burden and suffering around money will begin to lift.
In week two, we enter step two of the seven-step wealth journey, align with the three natural laws of wealth. And this is probably my favorite of all of them, because once we unhook from the scarcity mindset that plagues all of us, we take you into the three natural laws of wealth. When we engage in the practices of the three natural laws of wealth, miracles begin to happen. Life opens up. We get more creative. We get more inventive. Life feels more fulfilling. We feel more joy. And I'm not kidding you. You can take these practices on for 30 days and you will not recognize yourself. It's amazing.
At the end of this week, you'll feel that you have a foundation, a place that's grounded, that is real for you, authentic. And from there, you'll see the world completely differently, and possibilities will start to show up that you didn't even know were there.
Yeah, after this week, miracles start to occur.
Exactly. And in week three, you'll be on step three, which is creating your personal prosperity map. You know, everybody wants to be in love with their own life, and falling in love with the life you have is the sense of bliss and ecstasy that we all want. And most of us have been building a life around someone else's plan or someone else's should for us. But when you actually get in touch with your own design and design the life of your dreams and create a plan to put that in place and exercises that open you up to knowing really what that is, what is your life calling, you will have a life that you love. You'll wake up in the morning with such joy, such freedom, such peace, such excitement, such bliss, that you will be more productive and more powerful than you've ever been in your life. And it's really a fabulous step, step three, creating your personal prosperity map and plan. At the end of step three, after you've created your personal prosperity map, you won't believe the way you'll feel. You'll have a direction. You'll know where you're going. You'll see the future. You know that feeling when you've landed somewhere and you actually feel you're on the path? That experience will be yours at the end of this week.
In week four, we enter step four, make friends with your money by taking your personal wealth inventory. Now, building competence and creating well-being with money is really like being on a journey. You have to know where you are, you have to know where you want to go, and you need a map or a plan. So if I'm in California and I want to go to New York and I don't know I'm in California, my plan for getting to New York is going to be chaotic and probably not work. So in this step, we get very clear about our spending. This is all about locating ourselves on the map. We look at the history of our spending, a short history, and then we design our what we call intentional spending. Discovering what's so is always good news, even if you don't like what you're seeing or learning. It's avoiding finding out is where we actually get into trouble. The transformation in our relationship with money can be powerfully accessed through our relationship to spending. Most of us actually think that it's all about earning more. A true transformation in our relationship with money happens in this step in our relationship to spending. After this week, you'll have an actionable pathway to aligning your spending with the things you care about. You will be so clear that your spending is critical to how you relate to your money, and you'll see new ways to do it.
The next week, we get into step 5, and this is activating your wealth-building power skills of planning, saving, and giving. And I'm going to take a page from Tammy's teachings. She says that we're always practicing something, that even if you're unconscious about it, every action you take, the habits you have, are practices. And if you practice overspending over and over and over again, then you get better and better and better at overspending. And really, this whole step, week 5, activating your wealth-building power skills of planning, saving, and giving, will give you the practices that you create that are wealth-building habits. And you will understand how to really exercise the muscle of wealth building. They're simple. There's a system. There's practices. There's power skills that will give you access to building your wealth. And instead of having anxiety around money, there'll be clarity and joy, and you'll be taking charge of your financial health and well-being in a way that your resources will grow and your satisfaction and fulfillment will grow, and you'll be filled with energy, enthusiasm, and know where you are, where you're going, and you'll feel great about it.
Most of us live in a very short horizon of time. Most of us don't live like that someday we're going to be 85. And if we make it to 65, then our average lifespan is up in the low to late 80s. Now, I feel like I'm greater than average, so I'm probably going to get into the 90s. But we don't live in our lives like our lifespan is really that long. So this step is actually all about taking care of ourselves in the wholeness of our lifespan. Mm. You know, we've often spent a lot of time healing our past. We do a lot about taking care of the present. And many of us have just not developed the skills and tools to take care of ourselves as a 75, an 80, an 85-year-old, a 90-year-old. And this step is all about forecasting. How do you look at the trajectory of your financial well-being to know that when you're older, when you get to that age, when you can't work anymore, you don't want to work anymore, how are you going to take care of yourself? And do you feel peaceful about that? Do you feel centered about that? And this is really the step that addresses the bag lady syndrome, the concerns that so many of us have that we'll end up being old and destitute and on the street.
Wow, that's a wonderful step in our pathway.
Mm. After week 5, you'll have a clear understanding for how to locate yourself in the present with regards to your wealth, not only your financial wealth, but your personal wealth. And you'll be clear about what it takes to build a powerful pathway for living a wealthy life in the horizon of time that spans your entire life. When you have certainty about your future, you get way more present in the present. So we orient in this particular week not only about planning for your future, but we do this because it allows us to be peaceful and present in the present moment as well.
In week 6, amplifying your earning power and impact, which is the pinnacle of the path to true prosperity. And it's where everybody thinks the big power is, and in many ways it is. Until you work through the other steps, you can't really earn from the place that we're talking about, which will give you that access to true prosperity. But if you have gone through the other steps, then when you get here, you'll be earning in a way that is consistent with your unique gifts and talents, and you'll expand your income authentically and easily, consistent with the natural laws of wealth. So no matter who you are and what your situation is, you have hidden opportunities, gifts, blessings that are available to you right now that you may not see because you're scrambling for more and you're in a should mentality. But we have witnessed incredible income leaps with our clients, not only in their own lives, but in the lives of everybody around them, because they have actually been coming from this new place and have found how to amplify their natural earning power and impact. At the end of what we'll do in week six, your experience of yourself will be one of having fun with earning. You'll be in the zone. You'll feel that groove. It'll just feel good. The ideas you have will be a fit for you. The possibilities that you generate will match the people around you. You'll be in sync. You'll be in a rhythm and a dance with life that'll give you so much joy, and your sense of power will be increased, and your productivity will be mind-boggling. Just the world that you're living in will be rewarding you over and over and over again. It'll feel so satisfying, so good. You'll know you're on the right track.
And the final week, we get to step seven, called establishing your daily wealth lifestyle. All throughout this program, we're going to engage you in many, many practices. Each step has them. The practices of presencing this experience of prosperity and sufficiency in your life, of really extricating yourself from the scarcity myth, the practices of designing, inventing, and standing for the life that you want to live, the practices of intentional spending, of truly aligning your spending with the things that you're committed to and the things that you hold most dear and value in your life, the practices of saving in different horizons of time, short-term savings, mid-term savings, long-term savings, and retirement forecasting. We'll also engage you in the practices of generating offers, earning income, increasing income. So this step seven is really about reviewing all of those and pinpointing for yourself which practices resonate with you in a way that you can carry them forward in a daily manner, in a weekly manner, or monthly or annually. The practices that resonate so much with you that continue to presence, anchor, and further this wealth journey so that it never, ever leaves you. We also encourage you in this step to connect with and engage with members of your community, whether they be in this program community or members of the community of your family or the community in which you live, to never let this conversation die. So this final step is really about anchoring the transformation and committing to carrying it forward. Anything you want to say there, Lynn, as we wrap this up?
Well, I love the container of honorable closure, as one of my teachers called this last step, because this is not a flash-in-the-pan kind of program. This is an irreversible transformation. And to ensure that it's irreversible, we have clear, simple, implementable practices that will anchor your transformation and give you the chance to share it with other people and widen the circle of people who are living in true prosperity and on the journey to wealth.
Thank you so much, both of you. This is just fantastic. And again, I want to invite all of you out there who've gone on this little adventure with us today to join Lynn and Tammy in the True Prosperity 7-week training, where you'll be able to really get Lynn and Tammy's guidance as you begin your journey out of scarcity consciousness and into your whole new empowered relationship with money. Now, I'll explain how to do that. You can register right now by clicking the link just below the webcast player that you see there where you're listening to us now, or you can open up a new browser window and type in the URL trueprosperitycourse.com. That's P-R-O-S-P-E-R-I-T-Y, trueprosperitycourse.com. So all you have to do is scroll down towards the bottom of the page, and you'll see the two payment plan options, and simply click the Add to Cart button for the payment plan that works for you in order to register.
And Lynn and Tammy, I want to thank both of you for sharing this powerful presentation with us. Please share right now any closing remarks that you might have for all the people who have joined us here today.
At the end of this program, you'll be launched into a whole new relationship with money. I'm not kidding, all of you. I wish I could sit in front of each one of you and just say, right into, look in your eyes and tell you, this program will be some of the best value you ever get for your money. It's got some of the biggest bang for the buck that I've ever encountered, not just because I'm leading it, but because I'm leading it with Len. It's amazing. And I run into people all the time or hear stories from people constantly who circle back and say, wow, the work that you did with me in my relationship with money, I'm still in those practices. I can't believe it. It's amazing. My relationship with my husband is totally different. I'm making more money now. I'm peaceful. I'm not wasting my money on stuff I don't care about. It's an amazing program, and we really, really hope that you'll join us.
And I'll just say that the experience of being in this program is so profound, so overwhelmingly transformational, that they are never the same. And they can't even remember who they were when they started the program. And that'll be the case for you. So don't miss it. Use this as the opportunity to turn the tide and do what maybe you've never done before in your life and get your arms around your relationship with money and have it be one of the most beautiful, most gorgeous, most wonderful parts of your life.
I'm not kidding you. Unhooking from this cultural condition, this money culture that we live in on our own, I think is almost, if not completely, impossible to do on our own. Mm-hmm. That when you do it in a community of people who have the same commitment and you're in the same conversation and you're engaged in the same processes and you can share your path with them, makes a gigantic difference. We've seen it time and time again that when people engage in this conversation with others who are also committed to it, it transforms everything. And for those of you out there who are in a relationship with somebody, if you're married or you have a partner, bring them into it. Wow, what a difference it'll make in your relationship to do this together.
I agree. And the transformation's so great. One of the things that the two of us are committed to is having this spread throughout the world. And the more people who get involved in this conversation and transform their own relationship with money and set themselves on a new course, on a course that's healthy, that's functional, that's nourishing, that's prosperous, the more people will be served, the more contribution there is in the world. So we invite all of you to step up and say yes to true prosperity now.
Thank you both so much for this wonderful presentation. And thank you to all of you listening in right now. So again, please join Lynn and Tammy and the global community who are beginning their journey to wealth. We look forward to seeing all of you in the course. Thank you so much. Have a lovely day. Goodbye now.